First of all, Chapel Hill police are searching for a missing teenager. This just in, 15-year-old Sania Farmer ran away from home yesterday evening around 10:25 around a River Birch Lane off Irwin Road. Farmer is a black female with braided black hair, a nose ring, and ear piercings, last seen barefoot with a dark hoodie, jean shorts, and several wrist bracelets. Police say they don't believe she's in danger, but if you see her or if you have any information, Chapel Hill police want to hear from you. Meanwhile, police are also investigating a pair of armed robberies that occurred within 15 minutes of each other last night. The first at 9:30 on Rosemary Street near Pritchard Avenue. The second at 9:45, four blocks away on Church Street near Clark Court. Police say there were two suspects in both robberies. No injuries reported. If you have any information, call 911 or contact Chapel Hill Police. You can find the phone number on our website, chapelborough.com. Meanwhile, fallout continues from Tuesday's shooting at an elementary school in Texas that left 21 dead. National organization Students Demand Action is calling on K-12 students to walk out at noon today to protest gun violence and to urge state and national leaders to take action. There will be walkouts locally today, though not necessarily right at noon. Student organizers at Chapel Hill High School say they'll delay their walkout until state-mandated testing wraps up in the early afternoon. Local school leaders are speaking out this week in the wake of that shooting. Chapel Hill Carrboro School Superintendent Naya Hamlet issued a statement yesterday saying, quote, "Our hearts break and there's a much bigger problem and response necessary." Hamlet said there was a larger police presence at the schools yesterday, with more discussion to come about stepping up safety efforts for the rest of the school year. She also reiterated that the district has counselors, psychologists, social workers, and others on hand to help students and staff members process their feelings and deal with trauma. Orange County School Superintendent Monique Felder issued a similar statement, adding that the district's newly hired security director has agreed to step into his new role a few days early. Andrew Poole was originally slated to start on June 1st. Instead, he begins work today. You can read both statements on chapelborough.com. Dr. Felder's statement also included advice from mental health experts on how parents can talk with kids about events like this. Start by asking about and listening to what your child already knows. Be honest about your feelings and validate your child's feelings. Reassure them that adults are working to keep them safe, and talk about what they can do to stay safe as well. Meanwhile, other political leaders are also weighing in. First, Governor Roy Cooper, who issued a video statement yesterday calling on the General Assembly to pass three bills he says would address the gun violence issue.
State legislators should close North Carolina's permit loophole for these weapons. Pass it, and I'll sign it. I proposed a red flag law that lets judges take guns away from violent criminals and people who are severely mentally ill. Pass it, and I'll sign it. I've had gun advocates tell me that the problem is not assault weapons, but mental health. Well, there's a bill right now in the legislature that'll provide billions of dollars for mental health through Medicaid expansion. Pass it, and I'll sign it.
GOP State Senate Leader Phil Berger has actually come out in favor of Medicaid expansion, though Republicans in the state House remain opposed. While Cooper is pushing for gun reform bills and expanded mental health care, Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is going in a different direction. He's still scheduled to speak at the NRA's annual meeting this weekend in Houston, less than 300 miles from the site of Tuesday's mass shooting. Meanwhile, at Tuesday night's Carrboro Town Council meeting, Councilmember Sammy Slade attempted to connect the shooting with his own ongoing criticism of State Senator Valerie Fouché for taking PAC money during the recent congressional primary. Quoting Ohio politician Nina Turner, Slade said this:
"Not only does every politician that takes NRA money have blood on their hands, so does every politician that partakes in and upholds a system that allows these big money interests to exist."
That was part of a larger reference to Fouché, and fellow council member Barbara Fouché was having none of it.
"She is a woman of integrity, honesty, 25 years of exemplary leadership in this county. And how dare you come in here on your soapbox and try to bring this black woman down? How dare you? You've been doing it the entire time, and I am sick of hearing it."
She walked out of the meeting after that exchange, though she did return shortly thereafter. Speaking of local meetings, there is one tonight. Orange County commissioners are holding a budget work session at 7 p.m. in the Witted Building in Hillsborough. Turning now to COVID-19, which is still not going away with numbers on the rise both locally and across the state. Orange County is back in the CDC's yellow zone for medium community transmission. Orange is one of 10 North Carolina counties in the yellow zone now, along with Alamance, Chatham, Durham, and Wake. Yesterday, Hillsborough Elementary School announced they're reinstating a mask mandate for the second time in the last 2 months after seeing a cluster of at least 9 connected cases. That mandate runs through next Friday, June 3rd. And statewide, North Carolina saw nearly a 40% spike last week in COVID-19 particles found in wastewater. Health experts say that's an early signal of where trends are headed for the next couple of weeks. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get more local news, including the latest on Tar Heel Bikes, a bike sharing program on campus that's set to come to an end on May 31st. UNC officials say they're hoping to sign a contract with a new bike share provider to start this fall, and the hope is for that contract to include Chapel Hill and Carrboro as well. Time is 6:17. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. UNC women's tennis star Fiona Crawley is through to the NCAA quarterfinals after another win yesterday in the round of 16. She's the only one left standing. Teammates Carson Tangilli and Elizabeth Scotty came up just short in their Sweet 16 matches, losing in 3 sets each, and Brian Cernok also fell in the round of 16 on the men's side. UNC also had 2 women's doubles teams in the round of 16. They both lost yesterday as well, so Crawley is the only one left. That tournament continues today. Elsewhere in Carolina sports, a milestone for UNC softball player Kiana Jones. She's just been named as a bench coach for the Macon Bacon, a baseball team in the Coastal Plain League. That's a summer league for college players. Jones will be the first female coach ever in the league's history when the season begins today. In track and field, congrats to UNC senior James Joycey, who finished 3rd in the men's hammer throw in a preliminary round yesterday in Indiana. That qualifies him for the NCAA championships in Oregon. Preliminaries continue today. And big congratulations to a Tar Heel lacrosse legend. Steve Stenerson has just been announced as an inductee into the National Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Stenerson was a 2-time national champion at UNC, but he's being inducted mostly for his work as the longtime president of UNC USA Lacrosse. He retired last year. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be October 15th in Maryland. Stenerson will join a previously announced class that also includes legendary Tar Heel head coach Jenny Leafy. In baseball, the Durham Bulls got the narrowest of wins over the Charlotte Knights last night, 1-0 the final score, thanks to a solo homer from Jim Haley in the second inning. After a rough start to the season, the Bulls have now won 10 of their last 12 to pull back to .500 on the year. They're back in action tonight, hosting the Knights at 6:35. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes are back in Raleigh for Game 5 of their playoff series with the New York Rangers. That series is tied 2 games apiece. Game 5 begins tonight at 7. We'll stay on the ice for our next story, though it's not about hockey. Not many of us know that the Triangle is home to a vibrant curling scene, and 2 Chapel Hillians recently rode that wave all the way to Scotland for an international tournament. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more.
Mark Mosier and Rob Maitland are members of a local Rotary Club in the Triangle. Mosier is a member of a real estate property group, while Maitland is the founder of a local law firm. But in their spare time, Mosier and Maitland can be found on the ice, curling. They are members of the Triangle Curling Club, based in Durham, and have been playing there for several years now. Mosier said it all started with pure chance, a Rotary Club outing to the curling club.
The Triangle Curling Club sponsors has events called Learn to Curl, and they'll bring groups out. You can do it corporately if you're a company, or a group like our Rotary Club comes out, and they go through the rules and the strategy of the sport, and they let everybody get on the ice for a little bit. And so it's probably a 2 or 3 hour kind of event. And our Rotary Club went and did it, and Rob and I loved it. And we said, we want to do this some more.
As luck would have it, the International Curling Fellowship of Rotarians, the largest non-professional curling organization in the world, was holding its championship in Raleigh the following January. Mosier and Maitland at first offered to sponsor the event, but then ended up playing in it as part of a 4-man team. The pair were now fully hooked on the sport. Over the next 3 years, the two practiced and practiced with the goal of qualifying for the 2022 World Championship in Dumfries, Scotland. And qualify they did, along the way pulling an incredible upset over a team from Canada in the Canadian-American Championships.
It was like Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson, right? And it was humiliating for them. They didn't lose another match the rest of that tournament, right? Because they were focused after that, yeah.
Even so, Mosier and Maitland said they weren't exactly expecting to set the world on fire in Dumfries.
We had low expectations. There were other American teams that were trying to prep us and say, you know, you probably won't do that well. So we went in with low expectations, but we also went in with high motivation to do as well as we could.
Low expectations aside, Maitland spent some time doing research before the event to make sure his team came prepared. He bestowed upon his teammates an honor normally only reserved for Olympians.
I spent over, what, 6-8 months, I managed to find actual Olympic jackets that the U.S. Olympic team wore in Canadian Olympics or something. And so we put our names on the back of those. And when we showed up at this tournament, I mean, you know, my theory always is if you can't be good, at least look good. Well, we look great.
Competing against teams from the U.S., Canada, Scotland, England, and the Netherlands, Mosier and Maitland's team more than exceeded those low expectations. In fact, they found themselves in the semifinal round, losing on the last throw of the match, one which Mosier described as an Olympic-caliber shot. Nevertheless, Maitland remained grateful for the opportunity to represent North Carolina on the international stage.
How often in your life do you ever get to compete in the world championships of anything, right? And, you know, this is the Rotary World Championships, but you're still talking about thousands of people that are in the federation, right, or in the fellowship. And just for the opportunity to be part of that in any way was just such a humbling experience and just so exciting for me and Mark to be part of.
As for their favorite part of curling, well, that one's pretty easy.
It's a sport that really promotes camaraderie and, you know, there's traditions on how the two teams meet, and then the team that wins has to buy a beer for the team that loses, and it's just kind of a fun sport. I'm a big proponent of any sport that I can play that involves a beer
at the end,
even maybe even during.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.